Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-hosts Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. On July 21st, 1842, 5,000 worshipers, led by Kamehameha III, gathered to dedicate this great stone church. It became known as the Westminster Abbey of the Pacific. And during the days of the monarchy, it was called the Church of the Ali'i. Today, it is often referred to as the State Church of Hawaii. Today, you're going to be enriched with even more. Not only more about this great church, but more about the great God who loves the state of Hawaii, who loves the world, the great God who knows and loves you. As usual, you know, at the beginning, I always remind you, as I pause for a moment, to let you know that this program is for you. Wherever you are, whatever you face, whatever challenges that stand before you right now, wherever you are emotionally, physically, even spiritually, at this very moment, I'm here to remind you that God knows you, He loves you, and His grace is outstretched, stretched out, His hand stretched out for you because of His love. It's not just talk love, lip service love. It's real love and hope that the Lord has for you through Jesus Christ. Kahu Curtis Pa'alua Kwai Fong Kekuna is a Keiki o Kahale Pule o Kawai Ha'o, who was mentored by the Reverend Dr. Abraham Akaka. Kahu Kekuna has been in ministry for over 37 years, serving in Washington, California, Alaska, Hawaii, Mexico, Canada, and Russia. He has spoken at youth camps, training leaders throughout the world. His wife of 36 years, Rebecca, and Kahu have three daughters, two of whom are married. Kalei and Kyle reside in Santa Monica, California. Pomai and Jeff live in Ventura, California. And Aulani recently transferred back from Spokane, Washington. Kahu Kekuna's passion, and I tell you, it's ever since I've met him, known him, it seems to have gotten stronger and stronger as the years have gone by. His passion is loving Jesus Christ. He loves serving people and serving his family wherever God leads him. And so we are privileged today to have Kahu Curt Kekuna in our studio. Kahu Kekuna, welcome to our show.
Mahalo, Danny, and thank you very much. And to the listening audience, I pray that what we do this day, this time, honors our God. But I pray that it brings a twinge to your heart and to mine to want to serve Him and to love Him even more. Even if you don't know Him at this time, I do pray that for you.
Yes. Kahu, you have such a unique position right now in your ministry. Tell us a little bit about the history of Kauai Hau Church.
Well, as you said, in 1842, the church celebrated the structure that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Previous to that, the missionaries came over. They obviously landed at Kona first, mm-hmm. and that's when Mokuaikawa got started. So it's the oldest church in Hawaii. Then the missionaries came here about a week, 2 weeks later, and that's when they established what we know today as Kauai Hau Church. They had several buildings, mostly made out of thatch, but when you do that and you're passionate about God and you worship,
mm-hmm.
that combined with wind and kukui nut lighting, disaster, so they burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a framed structure, but unfortunately that fell over, number of reasons, wind, termites, so forth,
mm-hmm.
until King Kamehameha had decided, we need to do something here that will be much more permanent. So he conscripted, paid for, and they then built Kauai Hau Church as it stands today, made of 1,000-pound bricks of coral. So that's where we stand today. Now, since then, obviously, the kings and queens used Kauai Hau, and their ali'i pews are still there. We have the koko pew, the blood of Kamehameha pew. That's their pew. Then we also have the elected kings and queens pew.
Why do they call that the blood of Kamehameha pew?
Well, because you had to have Kamehameha's blood, because that's how they did in terms of passing on mm-hmm. who would reign and so forth. You had to be connected to Kamehameha through koko, through blood.
Mm.
And that's why they had that pew that's different than the elected. After King Kamehameha V passed away without an heir, then we had an election, and King Lunalilo mm-hmm. Took over, and he was the first elected king, and then King Kalakaua, and then Queen Liliuokalani. So that's the line. And we've always been the church of the ali'i. From what I understand, there used to be, the King Street was still there, but there used to be a beaten path from the front of the palace all the way to the front of Kauai Hau, coming to church.
You know, Kahu, as you pastor, it's such a historic place. Can you kind of give us a glimpse of what ministry is like for you, right in the middle, the heart of the city, people visiting, people taking pictures, but you're pastoring people. So what is it like?
Well, it's clear why I am there. Mm. God called me to be there, to be the pastor to the people who have been there for a long time. And anytime you go to a church that's been there for a long time, there's a lot of traditions and so forth and so on. So you have to understand, get to know, and be a part of understanding what the history is, or else you can't be effective in communicating mm-hmm. with those who are there.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there is a process that you had to go through in terms of the new people that come in. What's the balance of having people come in, perhaps who don't have that kind of history, first of all, mm-hmm. or even don't even have the culture,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, how can you be a pastor to both groups and many others in between? Those who have been there for a long time, those who are trying to look for a meaningful experience. And it's my joy and my job to try and see how that can be married and molded together, and or, if necessary, to find venues that they both can be accommodated and perhaps not be together. That's where we are today, trying to figure out where is that.
Mm-hmm.
And in 6 years, we've made some progress, but I'm pretty sure we got a long way to go on that one.
You know, the uniqueness of what you do. And like you said, I don't know of any other minister in the state that has to work with, to me, what would be amazing complexities, not only on a relational level, but just in terms of the history, the impact, the legacy, you know, and being a man of God at the same time, and the pressures that come from every which direction, seemingly every which direction imaginable. For you, Kahu, what would you say has been the foundation of your ministry?
Thanks for asking that question, Danny. It's very easy for me. I came to faith, understanding who I was wasn't enough for me to live my life. If I had to depend just on my intelligence, my gifting, who I was, what I learned, in order to be successful in this world, in this earth, that wasn't enough for me. When I met Christ, that changed my whole perspective. Now my whole life is about being a person who understands, knows what what God has given to us, this love that He's given to us, that motivates me, that drives me, that I have passion for that. That's what I want to do every day of my life. Mm. What is this love, this extraordinary love that God gives to each one of us? Because it was far and away categorically different than anything I've ever been involved with. And it gave me the motivation to not just to get to know Christ more, but to live as He calls me to live. And again, that's the reason why when I met Christ, my life was never the same and still isn't.
You know, when we come back, Kahu, I'd like for you to tell us, you know, we've heard Kahu Kurt Kikuna, we've seen your name, we've seen pictures of you, we've received your ministry in various ways, directly and indirectly, through the years. But when we come back, I'd like for you to share with us, take us back to boyhood.
Oh.
Where you grew up. Take us back to your growing up years. And then I'd like for you to share with us how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Be glad.
Because the Lord is working in the lives of many people who are listening today. And God has a plan for them too. Just like you and me. The Lord has a plan for you. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Kahu Kurt Kekuna. Before our break, he gave us a little snapshot of the amazing history of Kauai Hau Church and his ministry. But, we're always interested in this program about how people come to where they are today. So, Kahu, tell us, where did you grow up?
Oh, sorry about that. Where did I grow up? I'm sorry. I'm just thinking because I can hear some of my friends saying I still need to grow up. All right.
Okay. Not only your friends, but my friends and my family, too.
Exactly. I had my formative years on Maui. I grew up on Maui all the way through elementary school. And even if at that young age, you can see how look back now and see some of that development that took place and so forth, and some of the people who influenced my life. Mm-hmm. But one of the greatest things, and I got to think this is part of God's overall plan, was when you went to Kahului Union Church, you also went to Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. In fact, they were in the church. Mm-hmm. So Boy Scout Troop number one was at the church. So if you did one, you did the other. They both went hand in hand. So
Automatic.
And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the difference for a while. If you went to one, you went to, and there are two separate organizations. But in my mind, they were the same. So Boy Scouts really and Cub Scouts really kept me at the church. But that's also where Kahu Akaka was the Kahu when I got there. And he big influence on my life. I just idolized him mm-hmm, and watched mm-hmm. every step he took, moved, copied mm-hmm, everything mm-hmm, he did mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. Unfortunately, he was called away. I can't remember, probably 1955 or somewhere around there, he was called away. And he went, to Haile Church. And then from Haile Church, he went to Kauai Hau. And when he left, I felt a huge void in my life, kind of, sort of. But at the same time, I still went to Kahului Union Church and went to Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And gave me my formulation, because you would have to go to Sunday school. You would learn all kinds of things about God, but that whetted my appetite mm-hmm. To get to know God even better. Now, then we moved and came back to Oahu. My parents did. My father left the airline business and then came over. And I started Kamehameha back in those days. And when I did that, Kahu Akaka was already here. Mm-hmm. So we naturally went to Kauai Hau. And when we did that, there it was again. Following Kahu Akaka, just thoroughly enjoying myself, getting to know God and so forth. But I also became susceptible to the things that are available to growing up middle schoolers.
So you were how old about at that time?
I was 12.
12.
I was 12, and we had a great group of guys. And hi to all the guys who know, you know who I'm talking about. You know, guys like Godfrey Akaka, Glenn Rogers, Koiku Richardson. Kopono Ka'ehui. We all went to church together, and because we had that kind of bond. I mean, you went to church, but you went for the fellowship, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know them real well. But after middle school, I drifted away, went to high school, and in a sense, was just now an occasional visitor to Kauai Hau. Mostly, I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But something happened along the way. Two significant people in my life. One was a guy named Peter Galuteria. He was at Kamehameha. He was my Christian ed teacher. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he also taught Sunday school, Vacation Bible School at Kauai Hau. He made a huge impression on my life. He was a man of God, absolutely loved God. And he would tell me about the miracles that God did in his life.
Wow.
And I was totally captivated by what God did in and through his life.
Mm.
And I wanted that, but I didn't have the discipline nor the desire to follow through. That was one really significant event. And then the other event that happened was that affected me tremendously was a friend, just a person that I knew, committed suicide as a teenager. And I couldn't wrap my mind nor my heart around that. Why at such an early age would someone want to do that? So Mr. Galateria, making a deep impression on my life, this person taking their life, they almost conflicted with one another. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I blame God. I mean, good gracious, God, you could have stopped this if you wanted to. And I believe he could have.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen. So I blame God in some way, some perverse way, and then stayed away from God for a long time until I hit when I hit college. Still doing things that I know displeased God and displeased my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walks into my life this same guy, same age as myself, but he had something entirely different that I had never seen before. And obviously now I know what it was. Mm-hmm. It was a relationship with Jesus Christ. I never heard of that before that, never. We talked about God generally, especially mm-hmm. in the UCC. We talked about and how much he loves us, so forth and so on. But mm-hmm. I never knew that I could have a relationship, a friendship, like John 15 talks about, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. a friendship with this God that we were worshiping and singing about. And this person walked that talk. He demonstrated what God's love was all about. We only worked together my freshman year in college, and he left. He lived in Seattle. I lived in Spokane, but he would drive 300 miles on the weekend just to come and get me and take me to Seattle, and we'd hang out and do things, even all the while knowing that I was not committed to Christ. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to be my friend.
Hmm.
And through that, I began to understand the love of God. And that's what started playing on my heart, to understand it even as how I was living, doing all those kinds of things that I know God would not be pleased with. I began to understand even more and more how much it was not just hurting me, but it was hurting God. And when I finally understood that, I believe it was my junior year, I just said, you know, enough of this. I'm playing both sides of the fence here.
Yeah.
I need to make a decision. And that's when I finally asked my friend, and we sat down, we prayed, I received Christ, and the rest is history, my friend.
So this friend that used to drive 300 miles on from Seattle to Spokane,
right,
so you guys could hang out. Was he a fellow student?
Yep.
He was
my classmate.
He's your classmate?
Yeah. He's my classmate. That's what's even more
astounding. I mean, that's 300
astounding.
Miles of love every time he's driving, too.
Well, yeah.
Going a long ways out of his way, whatever, you know, to reach you.
Most definitely. See, and that's what I didn't have any way to explain that.
Mm.
And when I finally understood, it was because of his love for Christ that drove him, or that made him, caused him to want to come to Spokane to pick me up and take me to Seattle to hang out with me. You know, that spoke to me loud mm-hmm. and clear. It took some time, but it spoke to me loud and clear. And I'll be forever grateful. His name is Mike Strong. Lost track of him, but his name is Mike Strong, and I know heaven knows his name.
Mm-hmm.
So through that, I mean, the reason I mentioned, when you said 300 miles, I mean, you know, local people, we have a hard time trying to figure that one out. I mean, it's a long ways to drive 10 minutes sometimes, you know. So for him to go out and on a consistent basis to reach out in the name of the Lord to you, it's a magnanimous gesture of God's love for you, and God touched you by it. It kind of makes me wonder how far I'm willing to go. How far would I go, you know, to reach somebody? Do I love the Lord that much, you know, to go? And we know about the Lord Jesus himself. He went all the way for us, you know, but to be the beneficiary of that kind of love, I'm sure that wherever Mike Strong is right now, if he were to hear even just to get us a smattering of a glimpse of what the Lord is doing through his dear friend Kurt Kekuna. He would give praise to the Lord in a very, very big way. What happened afterwards? So you accepted Christ. What happened in your life after that?
Things changed dramatically on the campus that I was at. For me, it changed dramatically. As soon as I had this conversion experience, I pulled back and started to take a look and take stock of where I was going, what I was doing. I was fortunate in that when I received Christ, I'm not one of those guys, you know, I back in those days they would tell you if you were converted you would see fireworks and you hear bells and all that stuff. Hmm. I had absolutely nothing happen to me at all. Hmm. I just received Christ and I knew I did. The next day as I was walking around, people would come and tell me, "What's wrong with you? Something's different about you." You know, and the only thing I knew that I had done was I had asked Christ into my life. That was it. End of story. I trusted that he would come in my life. He did. And now he's showing other people that there was something very different, categorically different. So soon after that, then I knew, okay, I got to get to know this God. And that's when I became heavily involved with Bible studies, two or three a week. And trying to absorb as much as I can, reading through the Bible cover to cover. I want you to know that I don't encourage anybody to do that because you don't have the ability to discern what's going on. But, you know, because you try going through just the historical books or try going through Leviticus, then that'll kill you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. But once I started hitting the New Testament, boy, the words came alive to me. Mm. I started to see God more and more and more. So I had a hungering for that. So I changed my major emphasis. I was political science, wanted to...
And what school were you at?
It's called Whitworth University in Spokane, okay. Washington. So I changed my emphasis and started to take more look at social work and what it had to do and Christian ed and what that had to do with my life and so forth. And when I graduated, here's what happened. When I graduated May 17th. May 18th, I had already received my draft notice. Back then, we had the draft notice. I don't know if you're too young for that, aren't you? That's what I thought. Okay, we have a draft notice. So as soon as you graduate, now you don't have that 1S deferred. Mm-hmm. You now become 1A. That means you are eligible. So I went down, you know, fully expecting to be drafted. And there were probably, I don't know, 600-700 of us down there at the courtroom being processed and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there were about 40 or 50 of us that didn't qualify, physically did not qualify. I have an interesting S back the wrong way. So that's the best way I can explain that. So they disqualified me. So there I was after the exam, not knowing what am I going to do. I was fully planning to go into the service. And by the way, I was going to go in, but I was not going to go as a combat person. I would have to find an alternate way to serve. I still believe in serving, but I didn't believe in serving in such a way that I would take the life of another. Mm-hmm. I would rather be in a place where you can serve as a chaplain and or in the medical corps or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was not going to be a part of the service to take a life of another. So, but I was disqualified, so I didn't know what to do. So what I decided to do instead is since I was coming to know Christ, I figured, hey, let's go ahead and apply to seminary. This was already in May, so I applied to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew all the registration was done, so forth and so on. They had accepted everybody, but I applied anyway. And lo and behold, in July, I get an acceptance. And so August, I went to Fuller and became, I don't know what you became, became educated. So, and that was a three-year process, and I was done with Fuller, and then came home.
You know, Kahu, we look at life, and sometimes when we wonder when we're at the crossroads of life, and everybody... It comes to that at some time, like how you were there waiting to be drafted, or you were already, you got your notice and you're ready to go and serve. And the Lord redirected your course. That was a crossroads, and God directed you. Sometimes people feel like they're in that process of life, in that crossroads, wanting to know what direction to go. Sometimes it's a little bit scary too, because you don't want to make a mistake. You know, if I go this way, you know, is it really then? And the Lord doesn't always make it crystal clear.
Amen to that. You know,
there's that element called faith, and sometimes we need a lot of it to take the next step, and then God begins to reveal things. But you know, when we come back, I'd like for you to share with us. You know, I can, because you're already touching upon it. It's like just putting a little bit of our toes in the water, so to speak. But how you were called into ministry, and when you were called into ministry, how things went through that process. So when we come back, we're going to hear more from Kahu Kurt Kikuna, his story, his journey with God. It relates to your journey too, your journey with God. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Kahu Kurt Kikuna. He's the senior pastor of Kauaihao Church, a historic church in Hawaii, the Church of the Ali'i, known even as the State Church of Hawaii. He's here in studio with us, really sharing heart-to-heart, heart-to-heart in a talk story kind of a format, and we just are glad that you are listening in and joining us. A call to ministry, direction in life, what to do when we're at the crossroads of life, and we all go through it from time to time. And perhaps you're in that moment right now. Well, Kahu was there just after graduation, and he thought he was going to be joining the armed services, and the Lord redirected his course and led him on a course that eventually led him into the ministry. Kahu, tell us about that. How did your call to ministry take place?
How is an interesting question. Let me tell you the events that happened that will probably speak to the how. How's that? Is that okay? Okay. As I said, I was fully expecting to go. I didn't have any plans. So fully expected to be drafted, and I was willing to go. Then immediately following that, obviously not having been drafted, but rejected, actually. They used to call that designation 4F back in that time. Had to decide what to do next. So I applied to seminary, was accepted. And the reason why I did that is I wanted to put more meat upon this new faith that I had. It's only been a year and a half. So, and I didn't have that much kind of concentrated time to study effectively. So I figured if I went to seminary, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I went to Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, and did that for 3 years. So I came out with a wealth of knowledge, but my disappointment was for me, because I'm more of a hands-on kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You can learn all you want, but if you're not putting it into practice, it really doesn't take root. So I found this organization. It was called Young Life. It's still called Young Life, and it's still active here in Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii. And what I wanted to do, what they did well, was they took what theology was, and they made it part of your everyday life. You became a pastor, a youth pastor, if you will, to teenagers. That means you had to be with them 24/7. You had to spend time with them. You had to live your faith real every day in front of them. And they're the most discerning group of folks I've ever met, these teenagers, because they'll come right at you. They'll tell you when they think you're not being real with them at all. And I appreciated that. It honed me. It created me. It caused me to be a better person in touch with who I was. So that was the beginnings. Met Young Life. They said, hey, how about going to Hawaii? How about starting it there? Said, great. Let's go ahead and do it. Came here in 1973 and actually labored at doing Young Life for almost 30 years. And and along the way, a lot of different avenues, a lot of different roads, a lot of crossroads, as you put them. But by and large, for 30 years, that's the road I was on. And then after 30 years, and you'll find this out next year, Danny, your energies start to wane as you get older.
Why next year? I thought I'm starting to feel it already. I'm waiting for my eyes already. My eye doctor told me, get ready. You're going to need reading glasses. Why next year?
Well, maybe not next year. But I do know that there are things that are changing. And because Young Life is a lot of activity, a lot of expending of energies and so forth. And I found, I began to feel like, wow, this is really work. And not only is it work, I was feeling it. I was getting tired, and I was getting a lot sooner, and I was hurting in places I never thought I could hurt. So I started to really think, what am I doing? How long do I want to keep on doing this?
This is after how many years?
This is almost about 20-something years of doing this. And I just began to rethink, what do you want to accomplish? So I started a search, and the search is more professionally, who am I today and what am I gifted to doing? So I took a battery of tests from several different companies to try and figure all that out. And basically they came back, which was no surprise, that where your gifts best fit is being a pastor. So from that time on, I was looking for replacement and looking for what can I do now in the latter part of my years? What do I want to put my energies behind? So came at another crossroads. I didn't know if I wanted to be a pastor of a church. I knew I wanted to be a pastor. And this opportunity became available on the Big Island to go to Kamehameha School's KL campus on the Big Island to be their chaplain. So I thought that was similar, right? Young Life, working with kids, going over there, working with kids.
Seems so like there was,
a marriage in heaven. So I was at a crossroads. And so I made the decision to attempt to do that. And fortunately, they accepted me. So I went up there. So you talk about crossroads at your life. And I don't know what that is for those of you who are listening, if you're even in that position. But I do know this. I made the decision to go. There are some times, Danny, I don't know if God's saying go or not. I don't know. But I believe there's also times when God is saying, you make the decision. You do what you need to do. You go where you think I want you to go. And let's see what happens. Well, I made the decision to go. And I went. And it was a different culture. Hilo is a different culture. Loved it, absolutely. Because my ohana is really from Waiohino. And from Waiohino to Keokaha. And then to Oahu, that's the journey of my ohana. And I thought about that, and I said, well, I'm going back to my home. And so I thought everything would just fit well, but it didn't. It didn't. Had a great learning experience over there. And at another crossroads, now what do I do with my life? And Kauaiha'o then asked if I would candidate to be their pastor here. And so I did that, and then a year later, I was back here, back on Oahu again. And I guess, for those of you who are wondering where I'm going with this, you know, we're all going to have crossroads. But I think there are times where you need to stop praying, you need to move out in faith, and just go. And I really believe the God that loves us so much, he'll pull us back if we need that. Or he'll even correct us if that's what's needed, and he'll even change our direction if that's what's needed. And in my case, he pulled us back here to Kauaiha'o. I believe that the time on the Big Island, 1 year only, was ordained, and I needed to do that to grow up, to be away, to do my own thing. At the same time, it also prepared me to come home. So when I came home 6 years ago, fortunately, Kauaiha'o invited me to be their pastor, and I've been there now for 6 years going, just started my seventh year this month.
You went, you took the step of faith, and the Lord guided you. It's like a word for today. When you're at the crossroads, and sometimes the Lord says, just go, take that step. And the picture I had as you were explaining that is, it's hard to drive, if the car is idle, I mean, not moving. Especially now we got power steering and all that. But before, when I was learning to drive, I learned on a standard shift. But to try to move turn the wheel when the car is not even going anywhere, it's very hard to do. But if the car is going, even if it's going in motion slowly, big, big difference. And that might be an application right there as the Lord leads us as we move, as you take a step of faith. Sometimes the breakthrough comes as you take that step of faith. Take that to heart. Make that a matter of prayer. But as you make it a matter of prayer, consider making it a matter of action.
Amen.
A matter of action. Kahu, you're in the ministry at Kauaiha'o Church, and you're a family man too. So when we come back, I know our listeners love to hear about family. Love to hear about, like in this case, about your wife. How did you guys meet? How did you get together? Tell us about your children. That's part of the joy of living, the blessing of God. So when we come back, we want to hear Kahu. And you're going to hear more from Kahu Kurt Kekuna and his family. It's like God loves his family and has worked in his family. God loves your family too. Remember that. Remember that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group, Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Kahu Kurt Kekuna, Senior Pastor of Kauai Hau Church. To find out more about Kauai Hau Church, you can go to kauaihau.org. That's kauaihau.org. Before our break, we're talking about ministry, a calling to ministry, and how Kahu stepped out in faith, and that's how God continued to move in the crossroads of life over 6 years ago, which resulted in him now serving as the pastor at Kauai Hau Church. And we're talking about faith, stepping out in faith. Sometimes we pray, and then the Lord says, just take that step, take some action. But we want to find out more about family, you know, the backbone of a minister. Really, there's so much that can be learned in the family that can be shared in relatable ways with others. But go tell us about your family, Rebecca. How did you guys meet? And tell us about your family.
Be glad to. The joy of my life is family, and I believe that's from God. I believe God definitely values family, and family should be a priority for anyone who says Jesus is Lord. I met my wife in college, actually. I was a sophomore. She was a freshman. I met her the very first day when freshmen get to come back in those days. It was much more fun than it is today. You have freshman hazing week, and we did it nicely. We didn't do the crazy things that you hear about or read about. And she was just walking on campus, and she caught my eye, I mean, immediately. And I was with two friends, and you know, you with two friends, you know, you want to impress her, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I tried it. I fell flat on my face. And she had determined at that time, she told me this later, that she didn't want anything to do with me at that time. So I respected that and didn't do anything after that. But kept on seeing her on campus. I mean, you can't help it. Whitworth was a small campus back in those days. So I saw her a lot, and the more I saw her, the more interested I was.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand from her, the more she saw me, the more disinterested she was.
Hmm.
So already we're going in the opposite direction. Well, something happened. We met at a dance, and if you remember, back in those days, dancing was illegal.
Hmm.
Back at Whitworth University, it was definitely illegal. So we met at this dance, and she was with this guy that I had had problems with before. Anyway, so because of that, or not maybe because of that, she definitely made a determination that she would not have anything to do with me, because I called the guy out. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm,
He was with her at the dance, and she could see that she didn't want to be with any kind of guy who thought he was macho and all that kind of stuff. And truth be told, I acted like that, but I was anything but macho. Mm. And she just told me straight up, and that was it. I mean, that was it. So I had to change my strategy here. And changing my strategy means being a little bit more humble and so forth and so on. So I acted the part.
Mm.
I acted the part. So she gave me another chance, and we went bowling. And, you know, I'm a competitor. You know that, Danny. So we went bowling. So she said yes to that, so I was thankful for that. So we went bowling, and doggone it, she beat me. So, you know, instead of driving away from it, that drove me even closer. I mean, I wanted to get to know this girl really well. And then we made the mistake of sitting around and talking, getting to know each other. Mm. She got to know me, and I got to know her. And at that time, I had fallen for her big time.
Mm-hmm.
But be assured, she did not fall for me. It took another couple months of just being smart enough not to be macho looking or macho attitude, that kind of stuff. And then she slowly began to see that scared little boy that was inside of me.
Wow.
And then the rest is history. We parted ways a couple times during that college career.
Mm-hmm.
She moved, went to Washington State, down there and so forth, to see if there were any other real men around. fortunately, a year later, she came back and so forth, and we rekindled a relationship.
Yes.
And we were committed to one another. See, the fortunate thing was, she didn't tell me this to years later, why she went to Washington State was she was pretty convinced that I was the one that she was going to marry me, and that scared the heck out of her. Mm. So she left and went to Washington State. It's only 90 miles away,
mm-hmm.
but she went down there. But obviously, we've now been married 39 years, so we're going to hang around. She's from Washington. She's a farmer's daughter, had a wheat, hay, and cattle ranch, loved it, learned a lot from her dad
mm-hmm.
and her brothers and so forth, loved the family a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I'm deeply indebted to them for trusting me with their daughter, their sister.
Mm-hmm.
We have three daughters. They're all, you mentioned in the beginning of the program, they're all gone. They're all all three of them in California right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Aulani did come home for a while, for a couple of years, but then she just left last month to go to graduate school at University of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
That's Aulani, my youngest. My second youngest is Pomai, and she's a doctor down in San Diego. And then my oldest is in Manhattan Beach, and she works as an international brand manager for a company called Murad. Her name is Kale. Mm-hmm. Great, great, great family. But let me tell you why I'm so proud of them. It almost has... Yes, I'll take some credit, but my wife has most of that credit.
Mm-hmm.
When I first joined the ministry back in 19, when I first joined seminary, and then I was starting to be mentored by some folks, one of the gentlemen who was very influential in my life asked me, what's your priorities in life? And I said, you know, the rote answer, God is first.
Mm-hmm.
That I knew, though.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was a young person in the faith, I knew that that's instinctually, that's what I wanted to have first and foremost in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, I said, my family. If God were ever to grace me with a family, to bless me with a family, it would be my wife and my kids. And then third would be my ministry. And he told me, you're wrong. You've got it the wrong way. It has to be God first, your ministry second, and then your family third.
Hmm. And I praise God that he protected me from buying into that. And I told him, I said, I respect you, but I also want you to know I disagree with you. That's not going to be the priority of my life. The priority of my life is going to be God first, my family second. Because if I know I'm taking care of them, then ministry has validity. It's genuine. It's real. And I have a foundation from which to operate. If I don't have a family like that, then what I'm doing out there to me is really a sham. It's not genuine.
You know, what's interesting is that, just in my observation, I think there was a, well, culturally or generationally, there was a, that very perspective was pretty broad when it came to ministry back in, you know, God, ministry, and family. It's the, Lord, I'll take care of your ministry, you take care of my family kind of mentality. And you had insight, conviction early on in your ministry formation to know the distinction.
Yeah, but let me also say quickly, I didn't know if that was right. That's only I only know that's what I was feeling inside. Because a lot of my colleagues, a lot of the friends that I know that are in ministry have gone that way of making ministry first and foremost. And unfortunately, they're paying the price for that.
Carl, you know, I'd like to just, first of all, thank you for your being with us today. I mean, just sharing your heart, sharing your life and your ministry kind of helps people. Helps me.
Thank you. Helps me, too, to verbalize. This is my first time on radio, so for those of you who don't understand what I've said, please don't hesitate to call me. I'd gladly dialogue with you. And anything that I have not, that I've said that leads you away from Christ, I pray forgiveness. And anything that leads you to Christ, praise God.
Amen. Well, it's always a blessing to be with you.
Thank you.
We've been joined today by our guest, Kahu Kurt Kekuna. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.